This is the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 30, making more money with your existing email list in the next 90 days with Jason Van Orden. Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it. What is up, Heart Hustlers? Welcome to episode 30 of the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. It feels like just yesterday we got started. And I am really excited for today's show because I have Jason Van Orden, who I had the pleasure of meeting with when I was in New York. We met at a rooftop party, which was pretty cool, not gonna lie. And I got to talk to him a little bit about some of the stuff that he's done. And he's been a podcaster for over a decade. He's been doing some amazing stuff over at the Internet Business Mastery podcast. But what really piqued my interest was Jason talks about how to optimize, scale, and grow your business. Now, he's a total strategist and he loves the systems, the psychology, the strategies. And as you guys know, I am a full-on nerd for strategy. So when I had the opportunity to meet with him and talk to him and found out that strategy is his jam, I knew I had to have him on the show. Now, this episode is a little longer than normal, but once we get into it, you'll see why. Jason is able to really decode some of the cool stuff we've done, like surveys to our audience and segmenting our list and how to optimize the lifetime impact and income from your customers in a way that I think is just so approachable and understandable that I knew I had to let this interview run a little bit long. So I hope you don't mind. Now, if you want the cliff notes of this and you want the quick show notes, you can head over to heartsoulhustle.com/30. I've got the show notes for you there. We also talk a little bit about surveys with Jason, and I have a freebie waiting for you over at heartsoulhustle.com/30, where you can actually see some of the surveys that we've sent to our list for inspiration on how to get inspired and how to get information on what our potential customers want. Now, I'll skip right over the sponsorship. I just wanted to give you the show notes. I wanted to tell you a little bit about Jason, and now I'm going to turn it over as we welcome Jason Van Orden to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. Hey, Jason, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, my pleasure, Zach. It's awesome to talk today.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to have you here because I got connected to you, gosh, only like a month ago in New York. I met you at a party and I had enough people whisper in my ear, Jen Scalia and Kimmer Luna and a few other people were like, you have to talk to Jason. And we got to talk and I've been checking you out online and you are like the list building optimization king. I'm super excited to get into it, but for those people who did not have the opportunity to meet you at a swanky party, tell us a little bit about what you work on and what you do.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of people know me from Internet Business Mastery, which was the first ever podcast on the topic of internet business and internet marketing. In fact, next month is our 11th anniversary of doing that show. It's just kind of crazy to think that I've done something that long in my life, but on it chugs and, you know, sharing knowledge for beginning internet entrepreneurs about how to get started in this whole game. However, that said, like that's, you know, been my primary focus with some people, a lot of people know me from, but then more recently, I've been doing a lot of strategy work behind the scenes with some real movers and shakers in the industry, you know, helping them with product strategy and marketing strategy. Specifically, I love working with influencers. So people who, you know, really good at what they do, have a message that they feel driven to share with the world. And they're just looking to use the internet to reach more people and scale out their income and their impact. And, you know, the way I do that is let's look at your brilliance and let's translate that into marketing systems and products that help you do exactly that, maximize your impact and income with the ideas and expertise that you have.
I love it. And I'm such a strategy nerd, which gets me so excited. And I even shot you a message before we started where I was like, this is a little selfish interview because I love talking about list building and I love talking about strategy. So, I mean, let's just go for it. So one of the reasons that I was so drawn to have you on the show is we have like, it feels like all these different little circles that overlap. And I noticed that you talk about how to kind of optimize your email list. And this is something that we've just recently started dabbling with more intensively at Heart, Soul, and Hustle. But talk to us a little bit about, I mean, let's just dive in. Where do we start when it comes to list building and really getting the most out of your list and kind of maybe even digging into that old mantra of like, the money is in the list, but what does that really mean? And how do you start getting the money out of the list?
Yeah, so a couple principles I want to lay out here that'll help guide us. Number one is, and this doesn't apply just to influencers, but it applies to any entrepreneur. But what I do with my clients is I am always aiming to optimize what I call LTI. And that is, it stands for two things, lifetime income and lifetime impact for every person that enters into their world. And if we just deconstruct that a little bit, lifetime, what does that mean? Well, it might mean that, you know, somebody enters your world, meaning that they find your content, they opt in for your list, follow you on social media, whatever the case may be. And maybe they're around for 2 months. You know, that's the time frame that they are hotting into the what's going on and they want to hear from you. And then they might just be on to other things because that's the nature of life. Or they might be around for 2 years as a customer. Or I've had people who've been customers for a decade, which is crazy to think about. So lifetime is varying. But over the lifetime of a person finding you and entering in your world, you want to optimize how much impact you have on that person, the value you deliver to them, as well as then the amount of income on average that you derive from every person that enters your world as well. And if you focus on that, you know, breaking that down into strategies and the tactics that drive those strategies, that's how you grow and scale your brand and your business, your opportunities, and, you know, the legacy and all the other fun things that we want from our business. The second concept I want to lay out there really quickly is the fact that in my experience of doing this for a very long time, there is always money being left on the table. And so that means that, you know, there's income and impact waiting to happen, waiting for you to reach out and grab it. And it's just, you know, whether you want to use the imagery of a bucket that's still got some holes in it or whatever, but, you know, and often that's where a strategist or a consultant or a mastermind group or just a trusted board of advisors or friends can often look at your business and the things that we might have blinders around, or maybe just knowledge gaps or lack of experience or whatever we're taking for granted. And they can go, hey, by the way, I think if you tweak this one thing, you're going to see an increase in such and such, whether that's, you know, opt-ins or an increase in the average order value that you have for every person that buys from you. So the goal then in optimizing your LTI is to, obviously, given your limited resources, time, money, and energy, what is the low-hanging fruit in your business, the money that you can reach out and grab, or the impact you can reach out and leverage the most easily, right? And so whenever I'm working with somebody on scaling their business and getting more money out of their list, there's a few different things that we want to look at to optimize that process. So when it comes to maximizing LTI, you want to realize there's this term I like using called choose your own adventure marketing. And I don't know if, Zach, have you ever read choose your own adventure books where, you know, you read through and you reach a decision point. It's like, do you want to do this or you don't want to do that? Yeah. Turn to page 20 or turn to page 100 or whatever. And in a way, like, ideally, marketing is nothing more than wanting to have the exact, perfect, most relevant, most resonant, most remarkable conversation with every single lead and customer that, again, comes into your world. Now, obviously, that doesn't scale out. We don't have the opportunity to sit down and see somebody's exact desires, needs, frustrations, the worldview that they're bringing and all this, so that we can have that perfect conversation that enters and matches just right. However, this is where the idea of like customer avatars or audience avatars come from. And the truth is, you can probably draw a Venn diagram of 4 or 5 circles and cover 80%+ of your audience and the sub avatars that make up that audience. And what I mean by that is, you know, the quickest way to identify those different sub avatars is, what is that hot button issue, that inciting incident, that thorn in their side that is sending them looking, sending them searching on Google, asking for a referral, whatever it might be. So it's like, man, this is the thing I want to have solved. Whether or not this is actually the most pertinent or needful thing for them to solve, it's the thing that's on the top of their mind and you want to meet them there. So if we were to use a fishing analogy, if you go fishing, different fish are biting on different bait, right? And so you might need to have 4 or 5 pieces of bait in order to attract all the different potential fish that fall into the pond of your potential and ideal customers. So now let me apply all that stuff that I said there. How does this actually look in a business when the rubber meets the road? And you can identify at every piece of the funnel where this choose your own adventure marketing, this meeting of the exact right conversation, allowing someone to guide themselves through your world, through your systems in the way that best fits them, so that you do maximize that impact and that income for every single person. So obviously that's going to start at the very front with lead generation, with building your email list. And back when I got started online, like the popular, I mean, everybody knows now you got to have a lead magnet. You got to have that incentive. You got that thing, right? And it was sufficient to just come up with something that was, you know, somewhat interesting or sexy to the people you wanted to attract. And you slap that sucker in your sidebar and you start getting email signups. Well, these days there are, first of all, a lot of people out there making noise and vying for this attention, the same people that you want to get the attention of as well. And so I have found that it's become increasingly important to be, I used three R words earlier, relevant, resonant, and remarkable for the exact person that you're trying to attract. And in fact, those exact sub avatars that you're trying to attract. So these days, instead of just the one blanket opt-in offer that you might have, you need to make sure that you've got ideally at least four or five different ones that hit those different front end pains, you know, those pieces of bait, not to equate people with fish, but you know, it's, you know, that thing that they are just really needing. And whether or not, again, that's the thing, like you might in your mind know, hey, what they really need is this thing over here. We all know you got to hook them with what they want, and then you can bring them around to what it is that they need. So let's say you're in a fitness niche, very broad topic. And let's say you've even narrowed it down to, I don't know, you know, women who are in their 30s or 40s and you're really busy and wanting to stay more fit. And you might even get more specific to, you know, we're trying to help people just who have that like 10 or 20 pounds to lose instead of like, you know, the 50 or 100 pounds to lose. Even then, there's all these kinds of little things that come up. Like in their mind, that might present as the hot button issue of, man, I wish I had more energy every day. I'm tired of waking up, you know, and feeling sluggish. I'm tired of, you know, when I get home from work, my kid wants to play with me, not having enough energy to engage with them. So that's the energy hot button. So you might have an opt-in. You might have an entire funnel. You might have pieces of content that specifically speak to that sub-avatar of I need and want more energy. At the same time, within your same niche, you might have people who, you know, what's presenting for them, is, you know, I know with like women, they're like, I want to get fit, but I don't want to get too bulky. Right. So it's like, okay, how do you get fit without, you know, becoming too bulky, or even if you hate going to the gym, you know? So you're kind of identifying these, you know, these different overarching hot button issues. How do you know, or then how does this actually work out when it comes to placing them on your website? Or how do you know which one to put in front of a person, you know, in order to present them the right choose your own adventure decision at the right time? Well, thankfully, these days, like, you know, you can go right now, anybody listening to this can go to their website, they can bring up like their Google Analytics, and you can look at like in the last 6 months, what are your top 10 most visited pages? And of course, your homepage is going to be in there, your about page is probably going to be in there, you know, maybe your general blog page, a few of those. And then you're going to see, oh, this piece of content, that piece of content, this and this, the piece of content. And you may be surprised, or you might not be surprised. You might, you know, you might be able to guess right now what those are. Some of you maybe check this stuff daily. I know a lot of people who don't check this stuff and are very surprised to find out, it's like, oh my gosh, that's a post I wrote 3 years ago and is getting, you know, consistent traffic to my site. Clearly, if somebody lands on one of those specific pages, you know something already about the conversation that's going on in their mind and the conversation that you need to then have with them, not necessarily physically, but virtually through, okay, if they've read that piece of content, what's the next most logical baby step? What is the ideal opt-in that I can put in front of them at the bottom of this blog post, at the end of this podcast episode, at the end of this Facebook Live broadcast? Now, obviously, I'm not saying that for every piece of content, you got to have the ideal exact opt-in. But again, by having those four or five that overlap, it's pretty easy then to decide to start placing those strategically so that you're making sure that you're not disconnecting the conversation prematurely and actually giving them something that is leading them down, let's say, like a garden path towards the ideal spot in the garden where you know that they're trying to get to. So you write a blog post about how to have more energy. And at the end of that, you've got your opt-in about here's five myths, or here's how to have more energy without, you know, drinking coffee, without, or whatever, like the things that you know your audience might be trying to work around. And you give that there as an opt-in. Obviously, at the end of those opt-ins, you're likely going to want to have the perfect offer to continue that same conversation. And so that might be having, you know, four or five different entry products that go along with that progression through your world. Again, we're maximizing lifetime income and impact. And the best way we can do that is by just going along this natural conversation that they're already having. Now, it's not to say that you're not then bit by bit steering the conversation as well, that you're not, you know, still bit by bit educating them and letting them know, like, you know, meeting, you know, maybe you're going to have to bust some myths and go, hey, by the way, there's this thing over here that you need too. And eventually maybe bringing them around to your core offer, which maybe it's a membership site about how to, you know, clean eating or paleo lifestyle or whatever your core thing might be, or your coaching program. But so eventually these, if we use the analogy, the garden paths, they start converging, they start meeting in certain places, but, you know, different pieces of content to different ideally matched opt-ins lead to, you know, potentially five different autoresponder sequences that eventually might converge and put in front of them the same core offer, but each of them is a slightly different conversation. So that person feels like everything you're saying is, again, relevant and resonant and remarkable, which just makes it that much easier for people to go, yes. And that, I think, is like just laid a whole bunch out there. But I think, you know, hopefully that starts giving people a bit of the picture tactically how you go about optimizing your marketing systems, optimizing the way you use your email list, and how to maximize, hence, the income that you make for every person that enters, again, enters into your world.
Awesome. I love that. And I think that that makes a ton of sense. And we even do this right now with our business. And we're not quite to the level where we have multiple autoresponders. But I think that this is something I see all the time that people do, where they make these like massive free downloads, whereas they could have just split it up and they could have had like three different opt-ins. So we have an opt-in for list building, we have an opt-in for 5-day challenges, and we have an opt-in for something else. I think it's like Facebook ads, but it all pointed back to this one launch that we did, even though we had three different opt-ins. So really, one of the ways that you can do this is by optimizing the front end so there's just a bigger volume of people at the back end, correct?
Right. So, yeah, I mean, in a funnel, you know, typically people are, you know, we all know that at each step, you know, you have a certain percentage that moves on. And the nice thing about optimizing at the front end is that any gains that happen, and when we say front end, we're talking about like any gains on, let's say, the number of people that do, if you increase your conversion rate on a landing page by 3%, well, that compounds through all the other, like that's more people who reach the sales page and more people who, you know, or more people who go through email lists, more people that potentially open those emails. And, you know, typically, low-hanging fruit we talked about earlier, you do want to start, and this, I mean, this isn't a blanket always truism, but often I do start looking at the front end because, again, those gains trickle through and affect everything else that happens afterwards throughout your system.
Awesome. I love it. And I think that's so key. So just a quick little side question, and then maybe we can talk about what happens when they're in the funnel. But when are you ready to start changing the number of freebies you have, or start creating freebies? So how do you avoid falling in the trap where you're like making all of these freebies and not selling anything? When is it time to maybe expand to a second or a third freebie around the same offer?
That's a great question. So there's a term that I like using called minimum viable funnel. And so I don't want people to think it's like, oh, okay, I have to, everything from the opt-in to the landing page to the freebie that's being delivered to the this and that and that. Like what I might do is, if I have an idea of wanting to tack on a new, you know, front end piece of lead generation bait, so to speak, I go, okay, well, what's the minimum viable funnel that I need to create here to know if this is like going to work and hence worth writing all the emails and making an entry level product that then eventually leads to my core offer? And it's pretty simple. It's like, well, it might be nothing more than a Facebook ad and a landing page and, you know, a simple, you know, whatever like the minimum viable product is for that freebie. And often it'll be, you know, maybe it'll be, you know, really simple PDF. And then if that's opting in well and people are loving that, then maybe we'll upgrade that to a video and make the freebie itself a little bit nicer if we see that the number is panning out. Now, obviously, you want to go more specifically to your question of, yeah, I wouldn't suggest that somebody, yeah, makes five or six opt-ins on the front end without ever actually releasing a product. And in fact, typically in your business, let's say you are more towards the beginning of your business, you are going to want to, you know, if you're testing out one of these minimum viable funnels and you have a messaging and a landing page that's clearly working, then I would say, you know, carry it all the way through. Like, get to the point of making money. Like, really, the end goal here is not building a list of prospects. It's building a list of customers, people who have spent money with you, even if that's only $10. Somebody who spent $10 with you is way more valuable than somebody who's simply giving you their email. So, you know, once you've got that first freebie offer that's got some traction and it looks like people are clicking on the ad and they're, or, you know, going from your content and opting in, go ahead and write the email series that goes with that. Give them that first offer for them to have something to buy, and then potentially start coming back and building out other funnels over time.
Awesome. I think that that's so key. And I wrote down in like big letters and underlined it. The end goal is customers, not a big list. And I think, I mean, there's going to be so much more good content, but I think if there's no other takeaway, it should be that, that everybody talks about. And I was so happy for you to touch on this, that everyone's like, have a list, have a list, have a list. But it's sort of like, it doesn't matter how good that list is if you don't use it. It's like that friend you have that bought the $1,000 golf clubs, but can't hit the golf ball off the tee to save his life. I think that that's just so, such a valuable, like, little insight that you can just take to the bank. So thank you so much for that one. So let's say that we've got a few different freebies, right? So we have a few different freebies set up and we want to drive people to maybe a singular offer. I know a few people that do this really well. So what do we do inside that autoresponder? What are some things that we can do to get people engaging? Because one of the biggest criticisms I hear of funnels, even from within my audience, is like, well, I put all that time and money in, but like no one's acting on it. So what can we do to get them to take more action inside that funnel?
So again, I like to think, in fact, a term that I have used for autoresponder sequences is actually just conversation loops. Again, I like to think of everything as like, okay, given what I know about this person so far, given where they're at right now, and given the next most logical baby step or destination for me to guide them to is, what's the conversation I need to be having with them? And you know, if you're at the point of, you know, somebody's clicked from a specific ad, opted in on a specific landing page, downloaded and, you know, ostensibly consumed a specific freebie or at least expressed interest in it, there's some definite assumptions that you can start to make about like where they're at and what they believe so far and maybe where the knowledge gaps are for them. When I'm creating an autoresponder sequence or a conversation loop or a launch, you know, promotion sequence for a new product, there are a few things that I'm wanting to do and ask myself. Really, the goal is, I mean, obviously we want to make it an inevitable no-brainer for the, assuming they're the exact right fit for the product, for them to say yes. And that means removing some friction and stumbling blocks that might be in their way between where they're at now and them wanting to buy. And there's a few things that needs to happen. Obviously, they need to believe that you have their best interest in mind. They need to believe that you're capable of enacting their best interests so that, you know, they need to believe in you and your abilities. And then one that gets ignored a lot in autoresponder sequences or launch sequences is that they need to believe that they are capable of making it happen as well. And so obviously, like, we've all seen launches where it's, you know, it's a sequence of content. And yes, you want to be teaching and giving value, but you want to make sure that you are removing any of the doubts, the questions, the myths. You need to ask yourself, what do they need to believe and what do they need to be aware of in order for them to say yes, inevitably say yes to this offer that I'm trying to guide them to? And so, you know, let's say that they opted in on something that, you know, was their hot button and they're absolutely out there and looking for it and anxious and can't wait to get it. But in your mind, you're like, you know what they really need is kind of over here. That means you've got, you know, a little bit of work to do to make them see that it's like, hey, in addition to that thing that I've already given you and you started taking action on, by the way, you need to be thinking about this too, right? And so you start making a list of here's, and so let's see if we can come up with a good example here. I mean, if somebody is trying to, I mean, I hate to just use, you know, business examples of my own business. Those are always the obvious ones that, you know, that come to mind. Okay, I'll try here. I'll try to use myself as an avatar for, okay, so here we go. Recently, I did want to kind of do like a body reset, you know, kind of get my energy back in different ways. And I started asking around. A lot of people told me, hey, check out the Whole 30 program, which is a book that you can buy as a website and all this stuff. And it's, you know, 30 days of clean eating to kind of reset your body and everything. Now, you know, obviously the fact that like I asked that question, some people sent me in that direction, but you know, I've got all, before I started it, and I have done and completed it, but I had all these like potential objections and actually doubts that I was even capable of doing something like that, a 30-day, you know, cleanse or diet change of any sort. And so, you know, all these ideas of like, oh, but I've got this huge like Diet Coke habit. What am I going to do about that? Like, that's going to be really hard for me to give up. Or, you know, oh my gosh, I got to come up with all these meals and new like shopping plans. Or what about all the grains and sugars and things that are in my kitchen right now? Or, and thankfully, right in the front of the book, the Whole 30 program, they did this wonderful job. Now, I'm referring to a book. This just as easily could have been an email sequence. They did this wonderful job of going like, hey, we know what this is like. We know where you're at. And you're like thinking, man, this is going to be a huge commitment. And this is really hard. And you're probably wondering things like this and this and this. And I'm just sitting there going, yeah, I'm totally wondering those things, right? I'm wondering like, what about my sugar cravings when they kick in at midnight? What am I going to do about that? And so they just started like answering these questions and even like saying, and here's what to expect. Like, you know, a few days into it, you're probably going to be, you know, running into this and wondering that. And so they just started kind of like knocking down the stumbling blocks that were in the way of me going, like, should I do this? And going like, yeah, I'm all in. I'm absolutely going to give this a go with the Whole 30. You know, and they're saying like, look, what really sets people up for success is, you know, they do a clearing out of their kitchen and they look around all those things and you got to like get them out of sight, out of mind. That's one huge thing. You know, you got to plan for this and figure out how that, you know, and answering little thing. And here was a key one. And I love that they did this is that they pointed out, look, a lot of people sit here and say, and this applies to any niche out there. A lot of people sit there and say, okay, this is great. Someday I'll do that. As soon as my kids go back to school, then I'll start the Whole 30. Oh, wait, right now is not the best time. I got this trip coming up. I'm going to be gone for a few days. Oh, but then there's my sister's wedding after that. And like, they just said like, look, what's the cost of not doing anything? The truth is, when you think about it, someday later is never going to come. You picked up this book for a reason. You want to do this. And, you know, here's all the benefits you can expect from it. Now is the time to get this thing started. You just have to pull the trigger at some point. And so that's another thing that needs to be in that autoresponder sequence or that launch sequence is like pointing out the cost of not starting. Because often it's not them deciding between you and the other option that's out there. It's them deciding whether to do something or just to stay in the comfort of doing nothing. So, you know, these are all the things I'm thinking through when I'm writing that email sequence. Like, what are the myths that are in their way? What are the things they need to believe? What are the things that they need to be aware of? You know, another thing is to think about is like, are they solution aware or are they very like specifically outcome aware? And what I mean by that is like, they might go, well, I know that I want to get to X outcome. So here's an example. Like, I was outcome aware. I wanted to reclaim my energy and just kind of like feel better in my body. That was the outcome I was looking for. I wasn't out there going like, oh, hey, I want to start paleo or Whole 30. I was more just outcome aware and going, hey, what's the right solution for me? So clearly I needed a little bit of like being brought into like, here's why Whole 30 is the way to get to that outcome, the best way for you. Or if they're already solution aware, they're like, no, I know I want to reset my body. I know I want Whole 30. I just need like that help and guidance to actually do it and not have it be a painful, you know, an overly painful thing. Then it's like, okay, well, then you have less educating to do. And you can just simply talk about here's a solution and how I'm going to help you enact that specific solution. So I just kind of like dumped a whole lot of stuff there in 5 minutes. But these are like the questions I am asking as I start thinking. And I'll just start dumping that all into a document like, oh, they need to believe this. I need to be aware of that. Here's a myth they probably have in their mind. This is where empathy comes in. This is like putting yourself in their shoes, interviewing people if you have to. In fact, I strongly advise doing that. And then it starts coming into like organizing that bit by bit into a sequence of emails or pieces of content that, again, leading them down a garden path. So when you present them with the golden door and behind that golden door, you say is the thing you've been waiting for, that they believe it and they're ready to go, okay, great. Let's grab that handle and turn it. And I'm ready to enter the next stage of the garden, so to speak.
That's awesome. I wrote down a couple of notes, and I think the one thing you said that really stuck out to me that, I mean, not to point fingers at our industry, but the internet marketing industry is notorious for this of like, look what's possible with webinars. Look what I did with challenges. Look at how my Facebook ads are doing. And the big thing that I noted about all of the questions that you ask in terms of what goes in the funnel, like, yeah, that stuff is important. I think it's important to show your results, and I'm sure you do too. But it's about being aware of the outcome your avatar wants to achieve. It's about educating them on what's possible if they're not aware of why this is the best way to the outcome. It's about talking about the cost for them of not doing it, not the cost for you or what it's cost you in the past. And it's about giving them the ability to know they can do it. And really, I mean, we see that so often, again, in the marketing space where it's like, look at what's possible with this and look at what I've done and look at my results, when the key to really tapping into that potential, regardless of the industry, is showing them you actually have the ability to do it. I know what your struggles are deeper than, you know, in this example, wanting the Whole 30, right? It's exactly what you said. Like, you weren't looking to give up Diet Coke. You were looking to get healthy. And I think that that's just so key to identify that leaning into what they want versus what you know and have achieved is so paramount to getting really successful conversions.
Absolutely. And you know, something that needs to be in your sequence somewhere is something that allows them to really claim that belief. There's a term I love called self-efficacy, which is basically your belief in your own ability to overcome the challenges that come your way and to reach the outcomes that you want. I said there's three levels of belief there. There's the belief in you as the expert, the belief that you have their best interests in mind. That's the first one. And that you are capable then of bringing about those best interests. But then there's that belief in themselves. And along the same lines, there's this other, at the same time as I came across Whole30, I came across a site called resetyourbody.com. And I'd never heard of this guy, Terry Givens. I actually still don't, you know, necessarily know him or anything. But here's what I loved about his website is that he basically is cycling through 8 different challenges that are all kind of energy and fitness related. And they're really simple challenges. And the reason I loved it is I was able to like engage with these challenges and pretty quickly within, you know, a handful of days go, actually, you know, I am noticing something different here and I can totally do this. Like, for instance, one of them is simply a water challenge. Okay. And he has a video just explaining, it's like, look, here's how much water you should be drinking. And here's what you can expect when you start drinking that amount of water. And you're going to notice the difference pretty darn quickly. And it's just, it's a simple habit for somebody to take on, to just, you know, here's how you're going to start drinking more water every day. And so I did that challenge. And by the end of the week, you know, he told me what to expect. And I watched for those things and it totally happened. So now I'm believing him even more because what he said came true. Most importantly, I started going like, wait a second, I am totally like capable of changing these fitness and health things that I've struggled with for, you know, forever. And so that just greases the wheels for me to go like, okay. And obviously now he has, you know, he has books and his speaking and other things. And on the back end that he wants to move people towards, but these simple challenges give people the opportunity to own the experience and believe in themselves. So what is that? What is a simple aha moment or something, an exercise that they can go do? And here's the thing. The truth is they don't necessarily even have to do it in order to start believing in themselves. They just need to look at it and go, I can do that. And one of the most powerful ways to get people to believe in themselves is to tell a story of somebody that they perceive as being just like them. Science has said that proves, I mean, obviously, the biggest impact on one's own confidence and self-efficacy is go do it yourself and see the results for yourself. However, the two other sources of self-efficacy are, number one, somebody who you trust and believe in and see as a leader, or, you know, whether that's a teacher or a political figure or a guru that you look, a coach, whatever, that they say, hey, I think you're capable of doing this. And here's, you know, that builds your confidence. But then really powerful is that vicarious experience. And this is why testimonials and case studies and things like that need to be in your sequence, is that them seeing somebody else just that they perceive as being just like them, get the kinds of results that they want to get, helps them go, I can do that too. So help them own that experience, whether it's through some aha moment, some little exercise, a simple challenge, a story that they live through vicariously. You got to give them that boost of self-efficacy for them to go, yes, I'll do it. I'll sign up for your program.
I love that. And I just want to pull out one little thing that you said that I think is so paramount is finding testimonials of people like them. Because I have people tell me all the time, well, I don't have like $30,000 success stories, or I don't have anybody who lost 100 pounds, or, you know, whatever your industry. But that is the key, is that even in our marketing, we actually pull out from our emails some of our higher level testimonials where people are making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, because it's not relatable. And it's better to be relatable in some instances than to have these massive success stories. We don't sling those around because we know somebody who made $3,000 is way more relatable to our audience in some of our launches than someone who's made $30,000. So I love that you bring that up. And I think that that's so important to realize, that you don't need these massively successful testimonials to put into your funnel. You just need people can relate to. So I want to start to segue into our rapid round or lightning questions or whatever fun word we have for them this recording. But before I do that, we're both talking to people, so this is already going to be a longer one. I like it. But before I push you into the wrap up, is there anything else that we should know about our funnels and our automations? So the key here is we need to understand that there's different subsets of even our perfect avatar. We need to speak to them as individualized as we can, and we need to create an environment where they feel empowered, they trust us, and they feel like they can get the results. Is there any other big things that we need to know before we start running people through our funnels?
Sure, I'll give you a little more advanced technique here. And in fact, this is one that before you even start building the funnels can definitely make you more money in the next 90 days. It was only 2 or 3 years ago, believe it or not, that I started like having this aha of like, wait, you don't just talk to everybody on your list the exact same way. Like there are sub avatars and sub segments. And there was one summer, maybe it was, I don't know, 2012 or 2013, something like that, that we... So the traditional thing would be like, okay, we want to launch something because we want to bring some more cash in. So maybe we'll do a survey and okay, we'll pick a program or we'll relaunch something we already have. And we send that launch out to everybody on our list, right? And after kind of like learning this and working with some consultants and, you know, around segmentation and kind of experimenting and just having a bit of an epiphany around this, one summer we decided, I think it was like a May or something, we said, okay, well, this summer, instead of like, you know, just doing this one, yes, this is going to be more work, but instead of just doing this one launch of the one thing to everybody, let's look at our list and just kind of think like, what are kind of the natural segments that we have within our list? And this is pretty easy. It was like, okay, well, we have the people who've never bought anything from us, right? We have the people who have bought like an entry program from us, but still haven't bought the core program. We have the people who've bought the core program. And like right there, we had like, you know, three main segments. And I think we probably had maybe a fourth segment because maybe some people had bought, you know, some more advanced coaching or something. And so we just kind of like took each of those segments and, you know, found a logical way to segment our list and said, well, what's the most appropriate thing to launch to each of those segments? And so over the next 3 months, instead of just doing one launch over the next few weeks, we actually did, and we didn't necessarily do them all at once because that would have probably killed us, frankly, but we like back to back, we segmented off the list and we said, okay, for the next few weeks, we're going to launch this, but we're only sending it to these people that it makes the most sense to send that to. And so it might be because, you know, based on what they've bought from you before, maybe you do have the data to know it's like, oh, well, these people came from this campaign and those people came from that campaign. And it's kind of evidence of slightly different interests or whatever it is, but find a logical way to just find 3 or 4 segments in your list and do just a different launch for each of them. And that summer, you know, we made twice as much money as we would have otherwise, you know, based on our historical of what we normally would have done off a launch. Yes, we had to do 3 launches, but we also like just conversion rates were better and we were a lot more confident in what we were putting out there. So that may seem obvious, but I think so many people, they just think of like, okay, do a launch, send it out to my list. And the truth is, especially if you've got a list that's, I don't know, 1,000 people or more, you're starting to get to where it's like, nah, you probably have 2 or 3 subsegments. So start talking to them differently.
I love that. And I love that you bring that up because so many people do think that that's what's happening. But even our last launch only went to about 30 or 40% of our list. And that was our biggest launch ever. And I love that you gave those segments, no buy, low ticket buy, core offer, and high level. That's exactly what we do. And just to even tack onto that, these don't have to be massive launches. We've done this where it's like all email-based launches, challenges, webinar. Like you can go as simple or as complex as you want with these segments. But yes, what I love about what you do and what you mentioned, that you said it like so fast, but I want to bring it up, is that you can market differently to these different segments if they didn't buy, which means just showing someone the offer and them not taking you up on it. They go into that bucket we talked about earlier with the holes in it, and you can go back again and again and again, and every time more of them will buy. And I think that that's something so many people skip over, because that was our big struggle, is like, how are we going to get all of these people on our list to buy? You can go back to your non-buyers and just give it to them a different way, or a different delivery method, or a different sub-offer, or a different bonus with it even makes a huge difference. And so I'm so glad that we brought this point up, because I think it's just so vital to scaling, and scaling without going crazy, because you have a list, use it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep.
I love it.
Find the low hanging fruit.
Exactly. I love it. All right. Well, we have been going on for almost 35 minutes. I told you it'd be 30. So we will go right into our wrap up. So I just have a few more questions for you.
Sure.
So for those of the people who are listening who are like, yeah, I'm ready to segment my list to really optimize my list where it sits right now, what is one thing that they can do in the next week or so to really create some forward momentum around these ideas?
Well, the first thing is to just identify either on your existing list or on your front end, like what are those sub avatars? And you can do that by, so one easy way would be to send out a survey. I love having a survey with an open-ended question at the front, something like, what is your greatest challenge when it comes to blank? And then, you know, especially if you can get 50 to 100 responses in that. And then you just dump those answers into a spreadsheet and you start looking for the trends and you start going like, okay, well, what are the 4 or 5 things that just come up over and over and over again? And so that's an easy thing you can do to boom, now start getting an idea of, well, here are those sub avatars that I'm dealing with, and you can start working through, you know, the freebies and the funnels accordingly. So that's one easy thing that people could do moving forward. And then absolutely, like if you haven't already or it's been a while, like interview your people. If you know that you have this subsegment and you're ready to launch something else to them or come up with a new freebie for them or whatever, like get on the phone with two or three or four of those people, identify them. At the end of the survey, you can ask them like, hey, would you be willing to hop on the phone so I can understand more of the context of what you're dealing with? And that just works wonders for, again, going back to what do they need to believe and what do they need to be aware of and what are the myths or assumptions they're making that I need to, and then like the launch content gets so much easier when you just talk to, like, I don't like to go into a launch without doing surveys and interviews beforehand because it's just gold, the stuff that you pull out from that.
Love it. And we'll put some links in the show notes to some great resources for surveys because we are all about surveys here. Love it.
Awesome.
And what does the word hustle mean to you as it applies to business?
Man, I have a love-hate relationship with the word hustle. I mean, clearly, I know I'm not afraid to work hard in my business, but I also don't necessarily believe that there's some like mythical like balance in life or anything like that. But what does the word hustle mean to me? I guess it would mean that consistency. That's what I prefer. Is I prefer the word consistency. Really, success for me is having a clear vision of what it is that you want your life to look like in the future, and you can break that down to different areas of your life if you want. Choosing the right strategy. Or maybe one or two strategies. So focus on the right strategies to get you there and then consistently execute on those strategies. And if you're having trouble, like if somebody comes to me as a client and says, I need help growing my business, the first thing we're doing is identifying, okay, is there a clear vision of where we're going? Okay, there is. Okay, good. Have we chosen the right strategies, or maybe are there too many strategies and hence you're spread too thin? Okay. Once we fix that, it's like, okay, and now we got to make sure that the consistent execution piece is in place as well. And really that's what success is. You get to show up consistently and act upon strategies that are consistent with, that are in line with the vision that you want for your future.
Love it. And then finally, where can we go to find out more about you?
Very simply, you can just go to jasonvanorden.com, and that's where I blog and, you know, all that good stuff. And you can just, you know, keep track of all the stuff that I'm doing there. If this like growing and scaling stuff, I mean, there's actually a framework that we didn't get into about identifying, you know, the theme was find the low hanging fruit, right? So I've got a page. If you go to jasonvanorden.com/multiply, it's 4 ways to multiply your influence and income in the next 90 days. And it even goes more into, believe it or not, more into the opportunity. And how it's a 4-part framework for finding the low hanging fruit in your business in the next 90 days.
Perfect. And we will link that up in the show notes as well, which I'll give you guys a link to in just a second. But before I do that, Jason, I just want to give you a big thank you again for being on the show. So much amazing content.
Yeah, no problem, Zach. It was my pleasure to be here. Great conversation.
Now, what did I tell you, hustlers? This was a dope interview, and there was just so much good value in here. I hate to do this to you, but it might be one where you have to listen twice. Now, as always, you can check out the show notes at heartsoulhustle.com/30 to get a recap. And at the end there, we talked a little bit about surveys. If you head to heartsoulhustle.com/30, you can download a copy of a survey we've sent to our list in the past that has gotten us really amazing results that you can reference if you decide you want to survey your audience before your next launches. Now, as always, before I let you guys go, and especially because this was one of our longer episodes, I want to do a quick recap of everything that we talked about. Now, the first thing that we talked about was these two core principles that you always want to be optimizing the lifetime income and impact that you can have with people, and know that there's always an opportunity on the table to optimize and make more money. I love that second principle. So no matter if you have 100 or 1,000 people on your list, you can always make more money with it. It's just about learning how. And how does it break down? Well, you have to understand that your ideal customer who you work with, whether it's women in business or men who do CrossFit or men and women that are all on vegan diets, or you help people with relationships, it doesn't matter. There's a subset to each of these where you can segment people out. Now, if you're not quite sure what that is, Jason gave you 4 simple segments that you can use. There's people who have never bought, people who have low ticket products, people who have bought your core offer, and high level clients that you work with. Those are people that can all have individual messaging tailored to them. Now, when you're marketing to your list, you want to make sure that you play into the 3 levels of self-efficacy and belief. They need to believe that you're the expert, believe that this will work, and believe that it will work for themselves. When you tap into those three vital psychological triggers and psychological experiences, people are much more likely to convert to paying customers. And then finally, we talked a little bit about the importance of identifying who your avatars are, what the segments should be on your list, and the importance of surveying your list. Now, you guys know I've said this before. You've probably gotten a survey from me in the past if you're listening to this right now and you're already on my email list. We love surveys. Surveys are the way to go to get real insight on what people want. So again, if you head over to heartsoulhustle.com/30, you're going to find a couple of things, the show notes, the link to our survey that we've used in the past that's worked really well. And I recommend that you check out that link that Jason threw down, jasonvanorden.com/multiply. We'll have that there for you spelled out, where he's going to show you the four ways to get all the low-hanging fruit. This interview was already almost 40 minutes, and we didn't even get into all the good stuff Jason has to offer. So make sure if you're still looking to scale and expand your existing list that you head over to his website. Everything's waiting for you at heartsoulhustle.com/30. And I will see you here next week when I have another amazing guest lined up that I cannot wait to share. Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.